President Bush's most embattled judicial nominee made his second appearance before the Senate Judiciary Committee yesterday. Judge Charles Pickering of Mississippi first testified in October at the height of the anthrax crisis. At that time, he was unable to produce some 1,000 legal opinions he had written, and few members of the public were able to attend because of heightened security measures. That helped to set the stage for yesterday's showdown. NPR Legal Affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg was there.
This time, the questioning took place in a large hearing room. This time, the front rows were filled with Pickering's opponents, representatives of civil rights and women's groups. And this time, those groups had spent weeks campaigning against the nominee, portraying him as a relic of the Old South, a man who'd started out in life overtly opposed to political and civil rights for blacks and ended up as a judge insensitive to the rights of minorities. But Republicans were not cowed. They pointed to actions Pickering had taken throughout his life that they said showed he was a man of courage, conviction, and dedication to racial reconciliation. He had sent his children to public schools in Mississippi at a time when most whites were abandoning those schools. He had worked with the FBI to quell racial violence. And as Kentucky Senator Mitch McConnell put it, he had demonstrated uncommon moral courage in the 1960s in agreeing to testify against the Grand Wizard of the Ku Klux Klan in a racial killing case.
A 27-year-old Charles Pickering stared in the face his political future and chose to do his duty of enforcing the law against the men who committed such violence.
Democrats pressed Pickering, though, about other actions he took in the 1960s. Yes, he said, he had quit the Democratic Party in 1964, right after the National Convention had decided to seat a multiracial delegation instead of the all-white delegation the state party wanted. At the time, Pickering said, the National Party's decision was so embarrassing and humiliating, he was going to jump to the GOP. But yesterday, for the first time, he said he now regrets making that statement. Democrats then moved on to Pickering's law partner and close friend in the 60s, a man who'd openly campaigned in newspaper ads as an ardent segregationist. Pickering seemed surprised when confronted with the ads, but continued to maintain his partner was a progressive. That prompted this exchange with Senator Richard Durbin of Illinois.
I don't doubt the fact that life has changed in America and life has changed in Mississippi. But can you sit there today and tell us that these are the words of a man that you would characterize as either not a racist or as a progressive leader?
There was no politician in the South during the 50s and the early 60s that held office. It's not right, no, but it recognizes the reality of where they were at that particular time.
The judge fielded all such questions with a quiet, if somewhat grudging, aplomb, until Senator John Edwards of North Carolina began questioning him about a cross-burning case he handled as a trial judge in 1994. In that case, a juvenile and a mentally challenged defendant had both agreed to plead guilty and gotten lenient sentences in exchange for their testimony. But the third defendant, an adult, had refused a guilty plea and a 15-month sentence. He'd gone to trial and been convicted, whereupon the Justice Department asked for the longer mandatory minimum. Justice Department memoranda written by prosecutors in the case at the time report that Pickering threatened to order a new trial if the Justice Department did not reduce the sentence it was asking for. Pickering at first denied making any such threat, but then softened his denial.
You denied having said that?
I did not say that.
If the lawyers who were involved in that case have said that that's a statement you made to them, that would be a lie?
Senator, on the record,
according to the documents that we were provided, this took place in a private meeting that you had with the lawyers, where you told the lawyers you would order a new trial on your own motion. And when they ask you, what I'm quoting now, what would be the basis for such a motion for a new trial, you said any basis you choose. Do you deny having said that?
Senator, I have no recollection of having said that.
Senator Edwards then moved on to questions about whether Pickering had violated the Judicial Code of Conduct, which forbids a judge to engage in what's called ex parte contact, that is, contact with either side in the case without the lawyers being present.
Did you make a phone call to a high-ranking Justice Department official on your own initiative?
We had had...
Not you. Did you make such a phone call?
I called Mr. Hunger and discussed the fact. I was frustrated that I could not get a response back from the Justice Department, and I thought there was a tremendous amount of disparity in this sentence.
Were any of the lawyers in the case on the phone when you called?
No,
Mr. Unger?
They were not.
So that was an ex parte communication, was it not?
It was.
Okay. In violation of the Code of Judicial Conduct.
Well, I did not consider it to be a violation of the Code of Conduct.
And finally, Edwards asked Pickering if he'd issued an order forcing the matter to go directly to the Attorney General.
Did you also direct the Justice Department lawyers, the line prosecutors, to take your complaints personally to the Attorney General of the United States?
In the order, yes, sir.
The reason he'd taken such extraordinary steps to get the sentence reduced in the cross-burning case, said Pickering, was that he thought 7.5 years was unjust compared with the home confinement doled out to the other two defendants.
I have never had a case where the disparate treatment was so great as it was in this case.
That explanation, said Senator Chuck Schumer of New York, simply did not wash with him.
But I know case after case where someone is the state's evidence and gets a year or two in a murder case, and someone else gets life imprisonment. This happens regularly.
Senator Durbin chimed in as well.
The thing that I find troubling here, the lengths that you went to try to protect this defendant.
But Pickering noted in the end he'd sentenced the defendant to 2 years in prison.
I described the cross-burning as a despicable act. I observed that the act was drunk young men doing a dastardly deed that they should not have had in their heart. I further stated cross-burning is a heinous crime, so I don't have any feeling that what you did should be swept under the rug or what you did that you are an innocent person.
Pickering ended a grueling afternoon of testimony after more than 4 hours on the witness stand. He has the strongest of allies in his fight for confirmation, Senate Minority Leader Trent Lott, and Democrats have only a one-vote majority on the Judiciary Committee. Whether they are unanimously willing to shed blood to defeat Lott's personal choice remains to be seen. The Mississippi senator has said that Pickering will be confirmed, quote, or else. On the other hand, the Democrats are still smarting from the way Lott and the GOP treated President Clinton's nominees to the same appeals court. 3 out of 4 never came to a vote. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.